You're listening to Irish Radio Canada's Home and Abroad at Folk Alliance International 2025, and it's an opportunity to connect with the Irish diaspora and also to connect with people who are creative about their Irish music and their heritage. And Donal Rogers is one of those people. Donal's family came from, if I'm not mistaken, County Carlow, neck of the woods, and settled in the UK. And Donal has put together a group of musicians that call themselves Ranagree. Did I get it right?
Ranagree.
Welcome, Donal.
Nice to see you.
So, a little bit first about the family and the background. That was it. Your mum and dad emigrated.
Well, yes, and so originally, and we got the band name from a place called Ranagree.
Right.
It's not spelled. If you see that, you won't find it on the map because we did the spelling ourselves.
Right.
It was originally. So if you look on a map, it says Ranagree.
Right.
So Ranagree upper, Ranagree lower, but it's called Ranagree because it would have been the English who'd changed the spelling.
Right.
And we have no record of the original spelling.
It's like Brian Friel's translations, the play. That's what his whole play is based on.
Well, the family were there since 1658 on the same farm.
Right.
Obviously, just little houses, and which would kind of only last about 60 years, 70 years. They had to be rebuilt. It's been rebuilt in the last 10, in fact.
Bit like modern construction.
Yeah, they're kind of old stone walls, massive stone walls. traditional Irish little house.
No, but I mean the bit. A shelf life for 60 years.
Yeah, exactly.
So you grew up where?
Both. So a little bit in Ireland, and my ma's there still.
Okay.
Absolutely still. She's farming, she's 88. What? And she has a herd of cattle, and God, when we were little, with Gram, everything was done ourselves. All the milk was from the cattle, all the butter was from the hand. Churned, that was my job, churning the butter.
Right.
And all the bread was made at home by Gran.
Yeah.
The water was from the well or the pump.
Okay.
So they said there was nothing in the house.
Right. So, okay, when did that change?
Must have been, I'd say, because we'd moved then, we moved to England.
Yeah.
And then 1980, they decided to build a toilet.
Oh.
And I mean, everybody was like that around there. So, and then they brought water into the house with pipes.
Right, because that's come relatively late.
Very late. And we were using there. My uncle was using a Shire horse for years before, and then they got tractors and they got everything.
Right.
But they just, maybe it's because they've been there so long and that they just didn't kind of come along with everything else.
Yeah.
And it was beautiful, actually.
Yeah.
We never questioned it.
Well, you don't when you're growing up like that. You don't, because particularly if the neighbours are living the same type of lifestyle as you, you don't question it.
No, that's right. No. Yeah. And everybody knows everybody. The graveyard has all our family in it. It's just that's where they are. And when we were looking for a name for the band, because we became musicians, me and my brothers and that, and we just thought Ranagree sounded like much a folk band as a village.
Indeed. So when you say you found the band with your brothers, and when was that? When did you initiate this?
Well, music in general, we were in lots of different bands, but this particular band, 10 years ago, it was Eliza Marshall, who's my other half, and a flute player, and myself decided to try our look at the folk band, and it's just growing in a great way.
And pulling together what you have now is the foursome, the flute, you have the Bowron and the harp.
Yeah, and the Hammond dulcimer. See, in England, we have slightly bigger shows. Still only four of us.
Right.
We couldn't bring them all on the plane.
I know. Well, that you brought the harp in itself was a feat. So you basically tour mainly in the UK, in Britain, in England,
and Germany, Europe, really.
Right, but you don't bring the band then over to Ireland.
My God, this is the first time we've ever been to Canada.
But you don't bring the band to Ireland either. do you?
We the odd time we do.
Okay.
Because I have to go back because we're miles there still.
Yeah, yeah.
But we don't really play that much. Sometimes it's not as easy because it's a bit like, I don't know, taking snow to the Arctic.
Oh,
I know. Like, yeah, we've got loads of snow already.
Yeah.
So it's not quite as straightforward. It's totally doable, but
yeah,
it's the logistics of it all, and
and as you said, it's like bringing sand to the Arabs or ice to the Eskimos.
Yeah.
But so you tend to then tour on mainland Europe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we've got a record company who have put three of our albums out, and they're going to do a fourth one in June. So we go over there to a record label called Stockfish Records. They're Grammy nominated. It's the most incredible station, and their record label's been going for 50 years.
Right.
And they're in the high-end audio kind of business. They sell a lot to America.
Okay.
So we'll do another record with them. We've got five albums out.
Okay.
And we go back, and we're back on tour in England next week.
Okay. And you said this is the first trip to Canada.
Yeah.
What brought you to Folk Alliance?
Well, I knew nothing about it, really, but then some of the agents... were saying you really need to go. They came to see us. They said you need to go to Canada to Folk Alliance. And after about the third person said you really, we thought, well, let's look into it.
Yeah.
And we applied because you can't just come.
Right.
You have to kind of get through a few things.
Be accepted as an artist.
Yeah, and they accepted us as an official artist. And then the good people at the PRS Foundation helped fund all our flights and put money towards the hotels and that. So we thought, well, we better go then because everybody wants us to come.
Yeah, and it can be a very expensive undertaking for an artist.
Yeah.
So given that it is an expensive undertaking for an artist, what are you hoping to come away from it?
Well, hopefully enough, and we seem to be doing already, but we want to just say hello to North America, to Canada,
right,
and see if anybody would like our music. And it seems as if people are.
Right.
So we'd love an agent.
Yeah.
I mean, just we'd love to get representation.
Right.
For somebody to join the train.
Okay.
And say, and it seems as if people are saying, well, that the Canadians might actually like what we do.
Right.
So let's hope.
So, we're into day three of Folk Alliance. How do you feel that the time has been so far? Like, even if it were to stop right now, would you consider it's been worth it so far?
I think it has, yeah. We've definitely made some great connections with the booking agents already.
Right.
We must have four or five.
Okay.
We're kind of on first name terms with, and
okay,
want us to contact them. And when we get back, apparently,
right,
all the business happens once you return.
Yes.
Let's say.
Yeah.
It's just making the connection here.
Okay.
But it's been great.
And the event itself is practically impossible to describe. But have you ever been at anything remotely like this previously?
Not this. This time last year we went to a music event similar to this, but way in Senegal in Africa.
Okay.
It's called Dakar Expo.
Okay.
And because they're trying to get their African music out, and they invited some artists to come in, but nothing like this. This
right.
is crazy. I mean, crazy.
for night owl musicians to be describing what happens here as crazy is an indication of how crazy it is.
Oh my word, it is. Gosh, and you can't do that. One of the first things they say when they come here is don't try to do everything, because you can't.
You can't.
No.
And this is my fifth time coming, and even at that I cannot get near some of the stuff I want to get to.
Yeah, I bet. And it's all just, there's hundreds of showcases.
Hundreds.
Yeah.
Hundreds. Yes. So then when it comes to your music, how, from a listener's perspective, would you describe your influences? And when the agent comes to you, or the booking agents come, and they say, well, what do you do? What are you saying to them?
Well, we kind of, as a folk band, we do play some traditional, we've done two albums of traditional
right.
Material. but we do tend to interpret it. Maybe we don't stick to the textbook way of doing it. I like to get into the lyric to find out what the person might have meant, to see if there's another way of describing it, and it normally ends up being a completely different version that you might have heard before. But we've been encouraged by some of the BBC DJs who have played our music, and some like Mike Harding have said this could be the best version of this song out there.
Okay.
So that's like a nice...
So, when the best version of what kind of a song?
High Germany. The Dubliners have sung it.
Okay.
Martin Carthy sings it. And we put some real fire in it.
Okay.
And so... And that got a fair bit of play on the BBC. The new one we do, a more recent one, is The Wife of Usher's Well.
Okay.
And that's a real traditional song. And we've gone into the mental health of the wife and why she thinks she could see her children as roosters.
Okay.
They've died. So, of course, she's going to be affected.
Yeah.
So we go into that. Well, how can we interpret this?
Right.
And it changes dramatically.
Okay.
But it's a staple in our set now. And,
okay.
Everybody's like, wow, that's such a great version of that. And we're like, well, we hope it is, you know. But we're getting great feedback. I'd say 2/3 of what we do is original, though.
Okay.
And it's kind of, it sounds folky, but it's not traditional. They're not traditional jigs and reels and things like that. There's a lot of serious lyric writing going on.
Right, but you see, I suppose when you say that, like if you look at the Irish tradition, particularly Shannos, and there wasn't a note on an instrument.
That's true.
And then it was all stories. So, you know, the Irish tradition of telling stories through words in the form of a lilt without ever putting an instrument with it.
That. I was hoping to try and, on the next album we're doing, I was hoping to introduce some of that, actually. Whether we'll be able to write something that would fit the bill, I have no idea, but I'd love to have a go at that.
So when you do write, what are you drawing on?
Well, for instance, the next album, not sure of the title of it yet, but I know that we're looking at the migration and the reason that the Irish left Ireland. And some of my family left Ireland to come and work in England and to build the roads.
Yep.
They used to call them navvies, navigators.
Right. Yeah.
And we need them back. The roads are terrible now. But so they dug and dug and dug and then tried to sleep, but the sound of the banging was is still in their heads.
Okay.
There's letters back from people who couldn't sleep at night because of the amount of noise that happened in the day. And so the next album we do, we're tracing some of that, and we've got songs where we are literally expressing the noise of the drills and bringing the lyric into it and the letters that they wrote home. So the one song's called Say Hello, and it's like, will you say hello to Ma? Will you say hello to Granddad? Will you say hello? And so the whole new album is going to be kind of devoted to the people who left and the things they got up to when they'd left.
And of course, when you talk about navvies, from a Canadian perspective, the Irish navvies were the ones that built the canals.
Yes, of course,
And was, you know, just down the road from where we are here at the moment, the Lachine Canal.
Yeah.
And then you moved, that was in the early 1800s.
Right.
And then 1826 to 32 was the Rideau Canal in Ottawa.
Yeah.
And then they moved down and they had the Trans-Severn. So the Irish navvies were the term and the function and the occupation was not just something that went across the Irish Sea. It came across the Atlantic as well.
Yeah, I'd say it would, And I know that some of my relatives got down as far as New York in the 1800s and became, I think, one became one of the first female judges, I think.
Right.
And another went to jail.
but as long as it wasn't by the family feud.
Exactly.
Who's that? Oh, it's your brother. 5 years.
But families do that, don't they? They leave and then they all go their separate ways and eventually... It's diluted into the population, isn't it?
Indeed. The one you're working on now, when do you hope to that
November, hopefully, to come out.
Yeah.
We'll record it in Germany, because that's the Stockfish want, they want this record.
Okay.
And there'll be some instrumentals. There's a beautiful one called Anderin, and the Derin is the river that passes through the land in Kara, through Ranagrai.
Right.
My ma was telling us all a story, because some of the BBC came to the farm and did a podcast. You can see it on our website.
Okay.
Called Folk on Foot, and they walked with us on the farm.
Okay.
And we were telling stories, and my ma was telling the presenter a story about how she would, how they'd catch salmon when they were little, and they'd bathe in the water too.
Right.
So that was where they would go for a wash and wash their clothes and do everything. We're trying to express that as well.
Right.
You know, the whole journey, the whole experiences people had. So we'll go to Germany to do it, and hopefully it will come out in November. We have an album we have to put out before it. That's the trouble, and it's so we can't get in the way of that. And that's with a singer called Tony Christie.
Yeah.
And Tony Christie is famous for singing "Is This the Way to Amarillo?"
Yeah.
And I've written some songs for him in the past,
for
different albums. And he wanted to kind of go back to find his roots. He's a pop singer, nothing to do with Irishness. But his original name is Tony Fitzgerald.
Okay.
And he only changed it to Christie after Julie Christie, the actress.
Okay.
He loved her name and thought it sounded more like a pop song star's name. And he did become a pop star.
Yeah.
But Tony Fitzgerald then, and we're doing an album called The Great Irish Songbook, where he's singing Sweet 16.
Okay.
He's singing Leaving of Liverpool, the migratory song.
Yeah.
And The Rocky Road to Dublin.
Okay.
Which is an amazing version.
Yeah.
And Whiskey in the Jar, which is probably the first single, and we did a version for a festival where it's quite choral. It's like as if a choir are singing Whiskey in the Jar, so it's totally different.
Yes.
But with his crooning voice, I was going over, and he's singing it like that.
Right.
But we've got this choir going on at the same time.
Right.
And then it goes into this thunderous beat, and it's fantastic. So that kind of spearheaded this album. And that's due out in August.
Okay.
So we're doing a short tour. We've got 4 dates together in England. They're quite exclusive. I think they're selling out already, and we're not doing Vimwater 4 because he's 82, he'll be 83 by then.
Okay.
And he doesn't want to do too much, but he's singing incredibly well still.
So Donald, we're going to share a piece of music when we wrap up. What should we share?
A nice one would be, but there's a good instrumental we do called The Hare.
Okay.
And The Hare is Ranagrai means fort of the hare in Gaelic. It's from Ra Na Goria, Goria being the hare, so the fort of the hare.
Okay.
And we decided that we'd write a little ode to the hare, so to chase,
the
hunt. The dogs are after the hare, and you have to make your mind up who won the race. We think the hare wins the race. So that would be The Hare.
And where can people find out more about you guys?
Definitely on our website or Facebook or Instagram, but ranagrai.com.
And that's ranagri.com.
And then you'll find everything there.
Thanks a million, Donna.
Nice one. Thank you.